Our gospel this 14th Sunday after Pentecost comes from the gospel of Luke in the 13th chapter. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When Jesus laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away and give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When Jesus said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The word of the Lord. Please be seated. Years is a long time. It's a long time for this woman to have a spirit that cripples her, bending her over so severely that she is unable to stand up straight. 18 years is a long time to continually come back to the synagogue week after week to worship and perhaps pray for healing. 18 years is also a long time to view this sight from the outside. I wonder, at what point does this crippling spirit become all this woman knows? At what point does she attempt to adapt and simply expect that things will always be this way? After a year? 6 years? 10? And at the same time, how long would it take for those who see this woman regularly at the synagogue stop being concerned, maybe even shocked by her appearance as she is obviously in this physical distress? At what point does it seem that things have simply always been that way? That's the problem with dysfunction. If a person or a group of people are dysfunctional for long enough, it no longer seems like dysfunction, does it? Instead, it becomes how things have always been. Coping mechanisms become normal. Limited opportunity for change becomes standard. And instead of working to regain a healthy balance or perspective, there is no perspective because the ones who are bent over physically, emotionally, spiritually, cannot see their own dysfunction. It's the way things have always been. You know, there's an additional problem when it comes to the physical dysfunction that we see in our gospel reading today. This woman who has been bent over for so long is no longer affected simply by her physical ailments. No, after a while it can go well beyond just the physical, and there's evidence of it in our gospel this morning. Now, I'm curious, who here has heard of a wellness tool that's called the wellness wheel, or maybe the wholeness wheel? Have anybody heard of something like that? Not really? Well, it looks a little something like this. There's several different varieties, but they're all basically variations on this theme. Our overall wellness as people are reliant on several different categories of wellness: emotional, intellectual, physical, social, environmental, financial, and spiritual. Some lists have more, some lists have less. But it's really easy for these individual categories of wellness to get out of whack, for lack of better terms. Now, sometimes emotional well-being can affect a person's spiritual or physical well-being. Sometimes financial well-being can affect a person's social or environmental well-being. Now, I don't think that first century Palestine had a version of the wellness wheel available to share with others. But if we were to ask the woman that is bent over in our gospel today, I imagine that she would be able to tell us that it is far more than her physical well-being that is being affected by her ailment. I wonder if she has been forced to rely on her neighbors more to receive her daily needs. Is she even able to draw water from the well for herself? If she was married, has her husband had been able to support her through her various troubles? Did all their money go to doctors and healers who have been unable to solve the problem? And would those neighbors who might have helped this woman at first continue to remain helpful for an entire year? 5 years? At what point would her neighbors no longer wish to carry the burden for this woman who is bent over? Is it possible that even her husband or children would tire of caring for her? More than that, our gospel text this morning suggests that this woman was a regular at this synagogue. How long do you think she might have prayed for God's help during her struggle? How many times might she have been ignored by the synagogue leaders who know they can do nothing to help her? Physical ailments affect financial well-being. Anybody who has had to go to the doctor for anything knows that. Physical ailments affect social well-being. Sometimes we receive support from our neighbors, but sometimes that support wanes, or shame causes us to isolate ourselves. And let's be honest, our spiritual lives are definitely affected when other portions of our wellness are in a state of flux. And yet, something unexpected happens on the way to the synagogue this particular Sabbath. There's somebody new there, somebody outside the system that has been this woman's reality for so long. This Jesus of Nazareth is there and he is teaching, and while so often this woman would fade into the background, for things have always been this way, haven't they? Jesus brings a new perspective. More than that, Jesus sees her. Jesus sees this woman and he sees all that she is, all that she has been. He sees her physical ailment and he sees how it has affected her over the course of the past 18 years. And Jesus, in his seeing, refuses to wait to heal one who has waited so long for wellness. Woman, you are set free from your ailment. A simple statement. A simple laying on of hands. And we've already seen Jesus do things that would be typically far more impressive acts in the Gospel of Luke than this. But in some ways, this is his most important to date. I can tell you one thing. It was the most important for this woman who was bent over. It was the most important for a group of people gathered who couldn't look beyond the way things have always been. And I think it is the most important for the leaders of the synagogue who would question Jesus' right to heal on the Sabbath. It's important because in this moment, Jesus is declaring to this community of faith that help waits for nobody. When this woman was struggling and Jesus knows that her struggle has been a constant for 18 years, Jesus couldn't simply say, "Well, today's a Sabbath, but stop in tomorrow and I'll heal you." No, the time for healing is now. The time for wholeness is now. No longer will the ills of our world be pushed to the background. No longer will the powerless be told to wait their turn. Christ comes to bring healing now. Jesus comes to bring justice now. And where healing and justice reign, a person, an entire community, can begin to regain proper balance. So what does this mean for us? I think we all know people whose balance of wellness is off. I think we all know people who have been negatively affected by the ailments of their lives, be it physical, spiritual, emotional, or something else. And let's be honest, we might not be the ones who can eliminate their ailments. That might be beyond us. But we can be supports. We can be those who, while working to keep our own balance, can be a part of helping others find new balance despite their challenges. We can be the ones who offer emotional and spiritual comfort when other portions of wellness begin to fail. We can be the ones who bring our own peace and well-being into places of emotional and spiritual turmoil. And above all else, we bring Christ with us into all places where imbalance is found. And when Christ is our center and our guide, new balance, new beginnings can be discovered. For through Christ we are invited to see people for who they are, not just their background, not just their affliction, but to see them as children of God. And as fellow children of God, we are invited to enter in, to be agents of the Holy Spirit's work, and to declare the healing wholeness given to all of us in the promise of the kingdom that Christ is still bringing into our world. Amen.